We just heard from our reading from Mark in the account of the resurrection that it ends with fear-induced paralysis. Because Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome are afraid. So they say nothing to anyone, at least at that point. And who can blame them? 2 days ago, Jesus, their master, was crucified, died, and was buried. The women go to anoint Jesus' body with spices. They depart after sunrise. The sun has a head start. It illumines and lights their way ahead of them. They realize they cannot roll away the heavy stone blocking access to the tomb and Jesus' body. So they ask each other, who will roll away the stone for us? And it seems that just after they utter these words, they realize that the stone has already been rolled away ahead of them. Presumably, it was the angel who greets them and beats them to it. Knowing what the women had planned to do, God sends his angel to roll the stone away ahead of them. The angel scares the women. The angel tells them not to be afraid because God has sent him ahead of them too. Not just to let Jesus, not to let Jesus out of the tomb, but to let the women in to the tomb so that they can see that there's no body there because he has risen indeed. The two Marys and Salome are called to be the first preachers of the resurrection. Go, the angel tells them. Tell his disciples and Peter that Jesus is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. God is way ahead of this first century culture and even our own, this patriarchal system, to ask women to tell the men this great news. He asked women to give the men instruction. In Luke's account, the men don't believe the women because they say, Luke tells us, that they were just tellers of tall tales, idle tales. This is likely one of the reasons that the women remained silent, because they didn't want to deal with the men. God has more faith in these women than the women do even in themselves, their value, their purpose in the story of the risen Christ. He chooses them to be the first witnesses and the first preachers of the resurrection. And their message is very simple, yet very profound. Jesus goes ahead of you into Galilee. And why Galilee? Why not meet them in the area of Jerusalem where they're hiding? For fear that what happened to Jesus might happen to them. Why would Jesus wait to meet them until they run away for fear, going back to their home area of Galilee? Perhaps it's because this is where it all began. All the disciples were actually Galileans. They were from that region of Israel. This is where Jesus himself grew up. They all spoke with a Galilean accent. Jesus calls them to be his disciples in Galilee. This is where it all began, And now Jesus is going to give them a brand new beginning, a renewed beginning in that same region of Galilee. And did you notice Peter is named? And wouldn't that have been comforting to Peter to know that Jesus planned to meet him as well? Remember, just a few nights ago, he denied his Lord 3 times. You could say that he was as much of a betrayer as Judas. Jesus goes on ahead to meet the disciples and Peter. You'll remember the first time Jesus met Peter at the Sea of Galilee. He drew back and said, "You don't know me. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." And in that moment, Jesus had more faith in Peter than Peter had in himself. Jesus knew the rest of the story and how useful Peter would be. And it happens again, that Peter is going to meet Jesus again, and Jesus is once again going to have more faith in him than Peter has in himself, restoring him, and has a plan now to transform his character and his life. So Jesus will not quit on Peter. God knows the plan he has for you. He knows the plan he has for me. So we know that Jesus goes on ahead of us. He will not quit on you, and he will not quit on me. He knows the plans he has for us. He goes ahead of the women, the other disciples, and Peter. And yes, there is that scary unknown, that time and that space with uncertainty between Jerusalem and Galilee. But Christ fills that moment with hope and a word of promise that he goes ahead of us and that he will meet us there safely on the other side. And so he goes ahead of you. He goes ahead of me. He goes ahead of all of our fears, all of our doubts, all of our failings, our denials, our unfaithfulness. He goes on ahead and he promises to meet us on the other side of that valley of the shadow. Christ does not just foreknow or anticipate our next move. He intimately knows us in our story, even yet before we have lived it ourselves. He goes on ahead of us to catch us when we fall. He goes on ahead of us to strengthen us when we grow weak and weary. He goes on ahead of us to encourage us when we fall into despair. He goes on ahead of us when we feel like running away and hiding from it all. Jesus goes ahead of us and meets us in every moment that comes our way. This is the power and joy of the resurrection. That Jesus died and rose again, not just to prove that he conquered life and death, but that he is now setting the whole way for us, before us, to walk. We don't have to forge. We don't have to pioneer the path in front of us. We're invited to follow Jesus once again, who goes behind us and with us and before us. You could say that Christianity is a journey of catching up with Jesus. Jesus goes ahead of us through his temptations, through his suffering, through his challenges of the world. And so as he forges the way ahead, we have the assurance that he is with us, behind us, and ahead of us, calling us to trust in him, knowing that he will never leave us or forsake us or abandon us as orphans. Jesus invites the women, the disciples, and Peter to reimagine the world that they were living in. Now, with the power of the resurrection, where Christ meets us in the here and now. And so Christ invites us with this word, that he goes ahead of us, to reimagine our world according to the way it truly is, filled with Christ's presence and his Spirit, there behind us and before us and always with us. Jesus goes ahead of us through his death on the cross to show us that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, to assure us that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Jesus goes ahead of you and me to prepare a place for us, to meet us there. As Jesus himself says, "And since I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." Whatever it is this morning, whatever it is that threatens to paralyze you, whether it be the fear of the unknown, maybe a lingering guilt, or perhaps remorse, or simply the unknown that haunts us, Christ is ahead of you, forging the way forward. Whatever it is that threatens to rob you and me of joy and that peace that he promises, Christ is ahead of you, behind you, and with you. His peace is the kind of peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that transcends all human comprehension. It meets us right here in this moment and in this place. In a few moments, we'll be singing, "Christ is alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine. He comes to claim the here and now and conquer every place and time." And so he goes ahead of us to meet us in every moment along the way, even in the life of the world to come. Alleluia! Christ is risen.